Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio Sound the Shofar. I am Tower, and we are glad you joined us today. Warn Radio Sound the Shofar broadcast features an in-depth biblical study each week. All correspondence and inquiries of broadcasts of the WIBR Warn Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. Today is Friday, the 13th day of December, 2019. And the scripture reading for this week is Genesis chapter 32, starting at verse 3, through chapter 36, verse 43, Obadiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 21. And the New Testament portion is Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. Be sure to follow the Watchman on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn. You can also join us on USA.live at hashtag Warn Radio, and also on MeWe, that's MeWe, at Warn, hashtag Warn Radio. And you can, the Warn Radio Network is available through these carriers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcasts. We're also on Deezer, and you can find us on our websites, both warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. You can get the Spreaker app. And you can get the go to our website, warn-usa.com. And in our posts for listening and downloads, you can find the shows. This week, our articles by the Watchman, we feature Servant Disciples: He Is Not Above His Master. One of the common themes in the gospel end-of-day scenario is trouble worldwide. Matthew chapter 24 warns we are not to be deceived. Not only the chaos of wars between nations and ethnic groups will occur, we also find natural disasters, famines, pestilence, and earthquakes around the world during the same time. The startling fact is these things are described as the beginning of sorrows. Luke 21, Mark 13 also relate the troubling end of days scenarios. Also, Christian living, vapor in a mist of time. Christian living, it is true. Life passes by like a mist. Your life, whether you live as a Christian or not, is here today and gone tomorrow. It is a vapor in the midst of time. A place before eternity is where you are right now. How you act, what you do, and more importantly, what choices you make. Yes, these will determine it all. So you can go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to read those articles. Please take time to read them. They're inspired. They're pertinent for today. They're encouraging. And please pass them on to your friends. And we are also offering a free ebook, The House of Long Shadows. This has been the generation of Americans who gave away America, forsook the Lord God, and sold themselves into bondage because of their sins. It is the House of Long Shadows we find in Epitaph of America. In the House of Long Shadows, we find an America whose house is filled with sin and rebellion. This is a house with a vibrant and chilling tale, a beginning, but today a house that is divided and a people whose long shadow cast darkness over the land. It is a time of reflection, repentance, and of hope. Here we want to believe that somehow, some way, a people will find the true light. So go to DanaGlennSmith.com and you can get your free ebook. Today on the show, Day of the Lord Almighty, Authority Over the Nations, Part 2. Day of the Lord is the time the Word Almighty will truly have meaning to the nations of men. But here, all principalities and powers will be brought to a final end. This week, we will look at some of the books of Acts of the Apostles preached it so long ago. The message and the warnings are still relevant today. Today, though, there is grace flowing from God's mercy that is heralded because of his love for all mankind. He brings you mercy, you respond to receive. Meanwhile, the judgment of the day of the Lord comes. You cannot stop it. And now I welcome in the watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good, and I'm really thankful I have the opportunity to be here because it's very rare that I'm able to be with you on Sound of Shofar, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, and we I got us a special guest. Yeah, well,
I hope all the brethren out there are doing well, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for you. We're glad you can be here with us.
Well, we are on Friday, and it's Friday the 13th, which means just another day of God's grace and mercy for Christ's triumph over all principalities and powers, including the 13th. He is Lord over every day of the week, over every number on the calendar, not just the 13th. There's a lot worse stuff going on all week and last week. You know, Pat Buchanan, we got his letter this morning, and he, of course, hit the nail on the head. He is so good at historical political things, and he knows his presidents. He knows what has gone on. And you ran for president at one time, and many people just didn't fully appreciate him. I know I did. You know, I didn't really know him that well. And it wasn't until he kind of retired out of the scene and really just started writing some of his newsletters that you got to know what he knows. And he lines up this impeachment pretty well. Matter of fact, he makes it look utterly foolish, and he doesn't call anybody a fool. You know, I did send that to you this morning. It is a good read.
I did read it.
And
yeah, it is a good read. I enjoy reading his articles because he's very knowledgeable.
So, if you think the Lord's going to come down and get rid of Pelosi and all these others who are doing this, no, they're under God's grace, too, even if they are wicked or pursuing something that is not right. Men and women plot evil, or they plot good, or they do good, or, you know, they do evil. Some people try to walk the path in between both sides. There's people that get caught up in evil. There's people that get caught up in good. And as God's creation, God has given us, you know, the ability to repent, to seek his face, but also to think on our own. And Americans do that. And, you know, if the Democrats would look around and see how many people that attend President Trump's you know, gatherings he does every week. I mean,
yeah,
you know.
All the states. Yeah, he's in a lot of states, and there's people wait outside in the rain just to get in
yeah.
and see him. Tons of people, thousands and thousands.
Well, if the Democrats were smart, they wouldn't have pursued this course. But their hatred and pride is what's going to be the downfall. Make no mistake, they will receive the reward for what they've done. And it's not what they're expecting. Because whatsoever
right.
a man sows, that's what he's going to reap, including the Democratic Party or the Republican Party or whoever it is. And this thing... You know, they hate Trump, but, you know, more importantly, there's many of them that hate the policies, and his policies is exactly what many of us wanted, because Obama
That's right.
did his best to destroy it. We've had many that pushed globalism, that many that pushed lousy trade deals that destroyed our infrastructure, that destroyed our ability to manufacture. Americans ain't stupid. I've been saying for decades how idiot our political moves have been, and some of these stupid international treaties and junk that we've been doing regarding business. And
well, you know,
yeah, go ahead.
I was looking on. I think it was a story on CBN about. And I didn't realize that there was so much money tied up in stocks from China that with all this, if they get out, there's people that are concerned that it will hurt the retirement of people if they get out of it. But that's all they're looking at is the money aspect. They don't care about the consequences of being in bed with China over this stuff. So I didn't realize that there was so much tied up in that.
Well, see,
and
the
I
thing
hope
of
they
it
get
is,
out of it.
Don't let them kid you. There's been a number of nations that have lent China several billion dollars because China's tied up too. China's not doing as whippy as they used to. And,
right.
you know, it's pertinent for China to make a deal with the U.S. Now, see, I'm a one that we need to stop screwing around with China because of what they're doing to the not just the Christian population, but the Uyghurs and a lot of others. And
exactly.
China is an oppressive red communist state. They've been showing their colors just, you know, since 2010. So the fact of the matter is, this thing is nothing but a bunch of baloney, and it is about money, but we're not here to talk politics. We could do that. We're here to get into the Word of God, because when I look at what's going
Amen.
On, I settle back into the Word of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, when we talk about the Word of God and the gospel, it's important to find out what did they preach. In the beginning, what did the apostles preach? Why do you even believe this? Well, I'll tell you the reason that you believe. There was Jewish apostles. The first church was Jewish. The Savior, the one whom we serve, is Jewish. Coming out of he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Make no mistake about it. There is a way, there is a purpose, there is a Savior, and there is something that many of the modern church and modern society have put aside. And because of the anti-Semitism and because of the trouble, you know, that ensued in a lot of the Jews that pursued Paul and the apostles, there was persecution at the hands of the Jews who knew how to manipulate the leaders. And there was an enmity between the Gentile church and the Jews for, you know, centuries. But in these last of days, God has brought us together closer than they've ever been. And we see not just Jews, but we see Hindus and Muslims, even pagan Americans coming to the Lord. Make no mistake,
yes,
there
amen.
May be
you,
turmoil
Lord.
In the governments of men, but God is in charge. So we're going to be at Acts 12, Acts 13. We're starting the 13th chapter of Acts on the 13th day of the 12th month. And we're going to tell you a thing or two. Now, this is Paul, and you know, Paul and Barnabas, and you know, when you begin a ministry of any kind, you know, you can read in Acts and you can find out a lot of things. So, Tower, I'm going to go ahead and do this.
Okay, I'll see you on the other side.
Yep. See, Paul, when he began, and you can even put this in Peter and the rest of the boys, and of course the girls were there too, but and they did have prophetesses. So this was a full move of God, but the men took the brunt of it in spreading the gospel, and of course the women were there to support them, and they were very much, very much at the forefront of the whole thing. And you know, when you begin a ministry like this, you know, you're just starting out. You don't have a lot of background as far as people you can trust. And Paul found partnership with Barnabas, but Barnabas and Paul both came against one another. You know, they kind of had a little tit for tat because of certain disagreements over others. But see, this happens in a ministry. Now, you may think that in a ministry or even in the apostleship, everybody's perfect. Nobody's perfect except for the Lord. We strive to be perfect. Paul said of himself that he could keep the law blameless, and there was no doubt he could do it, but still he found an avenue where he needed to repent. But Paul stood tall. He was one of those that he could face down mobs of angry Jews. Not many people could do that. And even in today, you know, we have our own mobs on the street. And if you're a lone Trump supporter, they'll beat the living daylights out of you. I was talking to Tower the other day, yesterday, about a young boy who had he was a white boy who had well, at least the video came out. This actually happened before that because they had to get okay from the attorney who's bringing suit. And the attorney said it's all right, so they showed it, and this particular boy, he's a young white kid who had a Trump shirt on, and three black women, big women, were beating the living daylights out of him on the school bus. And you could barely even see the boy. All you could see was people beating the daylights out of him. Now, see, today in America, we have our own thugs. They come in many, many forms. And today, you know, many people who have been Trump supporter, for instance, they can get themselves beat pretty badly. And we've seen this even with Antifa, another group of thugs. And of course, this isn't a political show, but understand, if you think America is without troubles in this avenue, if you're wrong. If you don't think that persecution, like we report weekly, which happens around the globe, is not going to come to America, you're wrong. Matter of fact, even under Obama, we've seen his Antichrist policies. No, he's not the Antichrist, but he has Antichrist policies. We get this all mixed up all the time. I could preach a whole hour on that, but I'm not going to. So here's Acts 13. We begin at verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Remember, the word went to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. God always, even when Israel was first created, so to speak, and the blessings started flowing from Abraham, God had always intended for Israel to be that light in the world and for the blessings to reach out. Now we know that Israel had successes in a lot of areas. They did well and they were blessed, yet they also found themselves on the receiving end of judgment. And on Thursdays, we are covering an extensive study on Isaiah. And we relate that. And that has very much to do with a lot of the things of the Gentiles and the Jews both. Isaiah does. So Paul is just coming right to Jews. This is the stock of Abraham. This goes back, see, because many of them, you know, took, you know, you can't be a Jew unless you have been circumcised. And even if you, you know, a Gentile and happened to be a Jew and you were circumcised by the doctor when you were born, which is what I was, you know, when my generation was born, a lot of the Americans, that's one of the things the doctors did all the time was circumcise the boys, because that was a practice that they felt was the best for the boys, for health. They know that. That was one of the reasons that there was, but the circumcision for the Jews also from Abraham's was a sign of their dedication to the Lord. And, but at any rate, it became a covenant. And of course, the Jews not only kept the law, but there was the circumcision. And circumcision became very, very much a talking point during the time of the apostles in the book of Acts, because and even through the Gospels, because there were Jews who agreed in the Messiah, but they felt that these Gentiles needed to be circumcised, which they didn't. And Paul well describes that if you become circumcised, then the grace of God is of no effect, because you can't add anything onto it. Your hope is in Christ. It's your belief. And even Abraham knew that, because Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake. So if you're hanging on to Abraham because of the law and all the rest of that, you're hanging on for the wrong reason. Christ came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And he's the one that fulfilled it on the cross by bringing the love and the mercy. And of course, the mercy flows out of God's love, and grace flows out of God's mercy. And grace is obtained because you believe. For whosoever comes to the Lord must believe that he is, and that, you know, he is a rewarder of those that come unto him, that believe in him. And that's just the bottom line. You have to believe that a God exists. You have to believe the Son exists in order to, you have to just believe that he's there before you can come to him. If you can't come to him, I mean, you know, well, there's no God, how can I pray to a God? See, that's, you get agnostic and you get atheistic. You put yourself in that thing that when all hope is lost and man can't do anything, you have nowhere to go except to die. But see, we as Christians, our hope is not in man. It's not in any power and source except the Lord God. So whenever man fails, God can succeed. And Paul is directing them directly. He's talking to them, to the stock of Abraham, those who he was part of. He knew them and he loved them. He says this word of salvation. Of course, if I was to tell you and you were headed to a bridge and you were in a car and you were going, you know, a lot of miles an hour, and at the rate that you were going, you would end up flying out into the abyss and getting killed because there's no bridge. If there was a train going and the bridge was out, you would want to warn them. And so as Christians, you know, that's what we do. And many times we get in trouble for it. You know, Christians get in trouble for it around the world. They get imprisoned, they get killed, they get afflicted and every other thing, but they're trying to tell people, hey, the bridge is out. Your sins have separated you from the Lord your God, and the bridge is Christ Jesus. He is the only one. He is the only one that God has given his anointing and his purpose to. He is the only intercessor between God and man. And this is the salvation. And he comes out, the stock of Abraham, out of the line of David. He is, you know, when he came as a suffering servant. When he comes again, he's coming as the warrior king. King David was the warrior king. Solomon, his son, was not the warrior king. His Solomon, Solomon was the one that oversaw the building of the temple and get all that. That was his purpose. But yet even Solomon fell away. David had trouble. But in the end, I'm sure. Now, Paul goes on to say, for they that dwell at Jerusalem and the rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. Now, see, this is the amazing thing. You see, the prophet, the voices of the prophets were always there. Christ fulfilled the prophets. Now, see, Paul, before he became a believer, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he called himself. He kept the law blameless. He studied the feet of Gamaliel. Paul was very, very well spoken. He was very, very well learned. And many people believe, in fact, you know, maybe he was too well learned. I don't believe that. But Paul knew everything, and the miracles and signs followed Paul, and he had starch in his genes, so to speak. He would stand up, and he would just stir them down, and he would tell them the truth. You know, there was no, as we say here, pussyfooting around. It was just straight and direct. You got told, and that's what Paul would do, but he told them in love. And but those in Jerusalem, the chief priest, the high priest, you know, he knew the original tongues and languages. He knew the word of God, but he didn't know the incarnate word of God that was walking on the streets of Jerusalem. The Sanhedrin, many of them didn't know, but there was some that knew him. Nicodemus. He came at night to the Lord because he knew there was something there. But even Nicodemus didn't know everything. So this was a shocker. And so they did murder him. And he went to the cross. But Paul says, you fulfilled what the prophets have said in condemning him. He came. And he knew that they would reject him. But he also, John says in the first chapter, he went to his own and his own received him not. But to as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now that's the first thing is said in the Gospel of John, really, is to receive him. And so whenever you think about becoming a Christian and you think, well, why are they receiving him? Well, the scripture says to receive him. Why are you doing that? Well, because if I had a house and I have a guest, well, I do have a house, but at any rate, if someone came to the door and knocked on the door, I said, okay, fine, we'll talk. I shut the door, come in here and sit down at the table, grab a cup of coffee, and he's outside. That isn't the way you talk to your guest, especially if you really care for him. What are you going to do? You're going to bring them in, get them out of the rain. If there's rain, get them out of the snow. You know, if it's hot, get them out of the heat. Whatever it is, you're going to bring them in, set them down, get them coffee, get them a cold drink, get them something, you know, whatever it is. And so when Christ came, what are you going to do? Just sit there and say, well, that's good that you came. No, you have to receive him. Open up into your heart. Because in the end, it's not the physical act, it's your intentions and in your heart and your confession. Because by the time you get to John chapter 3, Christ is talking to Nicodemus about being born again of the Spirit. There's the Spirit of God involved in this. You see, the thing of it is, you can't just know Christ just because, well, there's a lot of Jesuses out there. Which one? Jesus Martinez? Jesus Martinez? Jesus Lopez? Well, see, Jesus, Jesus, these are our English terms that we use in Spanish terms. Jesus, Spanish, Jesus, American. But if you read in the original Greek, his name is Jesus, Iesous. His messianic name, Hebrew name, is Yeshua. That's the shortened form. Make no mistake about it. Well, how does he know? How do I know that I've received the right one? It's very simple. There's only one God and Father, and he has only one Son. And the Son is the Son of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Blessed art thou, O Lord, our God and Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, even our Father, who your Son said, this is my Father. Christ knows those who love him. And so Paul's talking directly to the rulers. He's saying, you know, you condemned him, but you fulfilled the scriptures. And he says, and though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And that's exactly what happened. But you see, there's something more here too that Paul didn't get into, and this was the blood guilt. I teach on blood guilt, and you can find blood guilt from one end of the Bible to the other. It is introduced in Genesis, and the judgment on blood guilt is finalized in Revelation. And in the Gospels, we find that the Lord himself, when he was standing, even Pilate was concerned about it. All of the leaders, they knew about blood guilt. They declared him innocent more than once. The authorities finally washed their hands of it. You be guilty of it. I'm not going to be guilty of this man's blood. Well, see, even if he said that, he still turned him over to be slain. But the real thing fell on the heads of the Jews and the crowds who were provoked by those who hated the Lord and wanted him to die. And we know very well why they were motivated, because the Gospels are clear. When people, especially when Lazarus was raised from the dead, they said, everybody's going to follow him now. They were afraid he would be the new ruler, the new follower, and the Romans would come and take away their land. Because they had that happen before. Jewish prophets and people, leaders who stood up to lead the people. Because they expected the consolation of Israel to come. The consolation. This is the Savior, the Messiah, who would restore Israel. Because they suffered great indignation when they lost their nation. So they were all looking for him. But the high priest and the Sanhedrin and those who ruled the Jews really through the religion, it was like a mini theocracy within the Roman Empire. They had seen this before. They didn't want to lose everything. And so, yeah, Christ went to the cross and died on the cross. Thank God he went to the cross. That was the purpose. Now, see, the devil wanted to kill him anyway. The devil didn't have a clue as what was going on here. Because the devil's lawless. He wouldn't have understood anything of the law and why Christ came. Christ knew everything. He knew it. And although all the Jews were reading the prophets every Sabbath day, they had not a clue. They didn't know him. And see, folks, people are in the church today like this. People are in your seminaries like this. Just because they know the original Hebrew, the original Aramaic, the original Greek, doesn't mean they know the Lord personally. No. The only way to know the Lord is through the Spirit of God, to be born again. He reveals the Lord to you. People don't willingly just up and turn to the Lord. The Lord draws them. For all have gone astray. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. That's everyone, in case you don't know what the word all means, including the Jews. You think the Jews are a holy people? No. Read the prophets. I teach on it a lot. They're like other men. When God gets a hold of them and they serve him, God can do great things through them. And they rise to the top. But when sin and lying and this other stuff enters in because of the devil and pride, they get brought low. And that's the same thing it is in every nation. It's the same way it is in America. America's not great because of men. God is great. I mean, this nation's great because God raised it up. That's why. But thank God that Christ was sent to the cross. But see, the thing of it is, you can call Judas another son of perdition, the destroyer. He was destroyed because once he found out what he did by betraying the Lord, he ended up killing himself. And the thing of it is that the Jews said, let his blood be on our head. And it was, because later on, Titus invaded, attacked Jerusalem, destroying the walls. That is how the walls of Jerusalem got destroyed. That is how the temple got destroyed. That's how they carted off the treasures of the city. I mean, what was in the temple, because a lot of them had been taken during the time of Babylon, but the Romans were able to take it. You could even find a certain old, lithograph, so to speak, that at the time they had put up on their own walls in Rome of them carrying things away from there. But, it is written that Titus killed about 1 million Jews there. Now, the Christians knew better. They weren't anywhere around because they know what the Lord said. He had told them in Matthew 24, and you can Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13. He told them. He says, every one of these stones, because they were telling him how great the temple looks, every one of these are going to be cast down. He sat and wept over Jerusalem. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets. How often I have gathered you as a mother hen her chicks, but you wouldn't have none over it. None of it. Therefore, your house is left unto you desolate. That's what it was. It was desolate. It was going to be destroyed. That temple had to be destroyed because it represented everything that God had fulfilled. It was no longer. There was a new covenant. It was in his son. There was a new purpose. Because the Jews couldn't keep the law anyway. Now, see, today in Jerusalem, you have a lot of the Jews, and they live according to the law, or so they think. But by the works of the law shall no man be justified. God declared all of them guilty so that those who would could be saved. Now, Paul deals with this. I think it's in Romans 11. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in the sepulcher, but God raised him from the dead. Now, see, this is what Paul's telling him. That even though they had rejected the Son of God, you were fulfilling Scripture, you killed him, but God raised him up from the dead. Why would he do that? Well, because it's God's program. Death cannot hold him because he's the Son of God. Now understand, the Spirit of the Lord was alive and well. Because while his carcass was laid in that tomb, remember, he had the full anointing of God. In him was all the Godhead bodily. He was the one, and we call it the Holy Ghost, who overshadowed Mary, and Christ, the Son of God, entered in as a babe. It's hard to figure how that works out. Nevertheless, what God does, you're not going to stop. Oh, they tell you that in Bible school, too. Matter of fact, the Assemblies of God, you know, the way they handle it. I think many in the faith handle it the same way if you're up there. When you become a minister, you just go on your merry old way, you know, you get your license, you agree to the principles of which they want in the assemblies, the AGs, it's the 16 fundamental truths. And once you can repeat them, teach them, and know them, and you've gone through your Bible school and stuff like that, well, you're able to teach in their churches. But if you have trouble, oh, they'll... I found my presbyters and some of the others about worthless because they had no answers. You have to learn these things by seeking the Lord. Now, sure, they could have lined me up saying these are the things you got to know, but you have to learn them, folks. God has to teach you. Just like God had to get me out of the church. I was raised a Methodist. I'd been around the stories of Jesus all my life. I believed him. But I hadn't yet committed everything I had. I believed, yeah. I was a kid. But when you're a preacher, things go bad, and you call up your presbyter friend to help you, oh, yeah, we'll pray for you. One of my first pastorates. I mean, Tower and I were losing weight. And I think it was my sister came down to visit us one time, and she thought I was starving to death. No, I've been fasting. You know, we're losing weight. Well, when a preacher gets skinny, watch out. If he gets fat and lazy, well, you don't have nothing to worry about from him. And if you like that dead preaching, stay there. But if you want something alive, go find who God has anointed. Yes, God can use Bible schools and seminaries, but even when I was in school, they told us. And these were doctors and theologians. They said heresy begins at the highest avenues of Christian institutions and even secular institutions. And we know that to be the truth today. That's where the heresy is. You wonder why America is being bombarded by all this other non-so-called American stuff. It started at the top of the rung, high colleges, you know, the institutions that had taught America's youth are now so liberal, conservatives can barely even have a voice there because that's where the heresy began. That's the way it is in Christianity, clear up at the top. That's why many of the people, if they wanted the truth of God, they didn't go, you know, to the temple and talk to the temple priest. Wouldn't have given them a quarter to go after them. Matter of fact, when some of them brought before him and they told him what had happened, they got angry. They even kicked him out of the temple. See, because there was a power. In the old days, and I mean real old days, when the Roman church was so strong and the popes were, they could bring down an entire kingdom. They were so strong. That was wickedness too. Some of the popes were wicked. Some of the greatest slaughters that have been happening to mankind were perpetrated by the popes at that time. In verse 31, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings and how the promise which was made unto the fathers. God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Now, see, I talk about the second psalm all the time. And people say, well, God, you know, there's nowhere it says God's going to have a son. Well, it does. Psalm 2. In the end of Psalm 2, it says, kiss the son, lest he be angry. You have the Apostle Paul, who is a learned. He knew the law inside and out. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. The Lord saved him. And here is one of the top scholars of his day that when Jesus was walking, Yahshua was walking on the streets, he didn't even know him. He was there consenting to the death of Stephen in the book of Acts. He still didn't know. He was headed to Damascus to destroy the churches that were there. And that's when God knocked him off his high horse. So here is this guy who didn't know Christ as Christ, but knew the very words of the Torah. It had to be revealed to him by God himself through the Spirit of God. The Lord appeared to him. That's why he's an apostle. So understand, Satan can appear as an angel of light, even in your churches, and even in your governments, there can be these people that stand up. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I'll give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. That's why he was raised from the dead. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Make no mistake. You need to understand this clearly. There is no law anywhere in heaven and in hell that is going to justify you from your sins. The laws of men, the law of Islam in the Quran, the law of Judaism, it's justified by faith in Christ, by coming to him and believing in what God has done. That's the gospel. And that is why there is so much enmity in the world. Christ told us it would be that way. And so you want to know why America has slid into the abyss of this utter nonsense that we're in today. This stuff that's going on in Congress and what these hard-hearted, stubborn, proud Democrats are doing. This is personal agendas and pride. It's no different than what the priest and all of his people were worried about, that Christ was raising people from the dead and they couldn't stop him. So they killed him. That still didn't stop him. Now, see, these Democrats, they see the crowds. So the best way to stop him is to impeach him. Now, of course, Pat Buchanan points out the legality of both the law and everything else when he points out how foolish it is. That there's no way this one house can do that. Although they go ahead with it. It's stupid. There's no justice there. So just because you have people up there telling you this justice, it's not justice. But we have generations of people that are on the streets that are also lawless. America is lawless. We see the nations of men. They're lawless. Even the jihadists who think they're killing people, including Christians and others, in the name of their God, thinking they're going to be with their reward and their virginal harem or whatever it is, drinking wine, Yeah, they're going to be with somebody, all right, but it ain't no virgin, and I can guarantee it ain't going to be no party like they expected. See, this is the thing. Why have we gone to hell in America? We've gone to hell in America because your churches have gone to hell, because they stopped preaching the Word of God. They stopped preaching the gospel. Now, of course, when I say that, people begin to think, well, I got news for you. Yeah, well, you may have news for me, but I don't care. I'm here to tell you the truth. The truth is, we are the salt of the earth. The gospel is that salt and that seed that should have been preached and should never have been stopped. And I can tell you for a fact, and I can name you preachers with huge congregations, these people who made millions of dollars in their ministries and are millionaires today, and they didn't preach the gospel. Prosperity. Even Joyce Myers repented of it because she saw it was wrong. And she's not the only one. It's time for you to understand here that this is not a game. And the devil's not going to let up. But see, this is apostolic preaching here. He didn't tell them they were a bunch of dirty, rotten sinners, did he? But he did tell them the gospel. Well, you see, this is in Acts 13. You start falling into the book a little more, and they start getting really riled up. Hebrews 1, 5 through 8 says this, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I'll be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Verse 7, and of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Verse 8, but unto the Son he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. That's the one that's coming again, Yeshua, the greater son of David, the warrior king who will put down every enemy. He's already gone to the cross. He's already been the suffering servant. He's already revealed mercy and grace so you could be saved. He's not coming again to die on the cross. He's not coming again. Yesterday, you see, I've got this special reader of all the news that I put together a long time ago, and I change it and modify it from time to time. And believe me when I tell you that I'm used to reading thousands and thousands of headlines a week. I don't do thousands and thousands anymore. But most of the time, I just get rid of 90% of them because they're not worth reading. But as I was scrolling through it, getting ready to do it, you had this white guy. He probably looked more like an Arab. And of course, there was something funny about the way his face looked, because it was plain his face and part of his body. He was dressed. He had long hair and he had on the robe, and there was people around him, and he was looking straight at you so you could see him. And in the headlines right below it said, the gay Jesus, a new Netflix movie. Now, if you're on Netflix, you need to get off Netflix. But you do what your conscience tells you. You're not going to get rid of the gay and the lesbian agenda in America or the world. You're just not going to do it. You know, and in the end, really, if we boycotted everybody that did these things, you wouldn't even be able to buy food because everybody's accepted it practically. See, this is part and parcel with the lies of the devil, and people will believe this. There, you know, back, you know, you go back in the 70s and the 80s, there were old churches that were in advertisements. And they were in Colorado. You see, I pastored in Colorado for a while. And I remember seeing these in the paper. I couldn't believe that there were churches, Christian churches, that were this way. But that's the way it is. Today, you can't say nothing. Oh, it's all right. Okay, so it's all right. It's not all right, but, you know, hey. You're going to find out. See, you can't tell people anything, even the gospel. The gospel isn't a telling. The gospel is a spreading. We spread the gospel by the word of God, which is the seed of the word of God. That's why Christ gave us the parables. It's not a telling. Well, I'm going to break your arm unless you become a Christian. That's not how this works. Works through the power of God, the miracles of God. God is the one that does the operation. All you're to do is be a testifier and a witness. So testify and be a witness. And we will stop there for today. Because we will begin in Hebrews 5, and then we're going to go through some phrases on the day of the Lord. Because I got news for you. I mean, you can turn around and say whatever you want, but the truth, it will be revealed. On the day of the Lord. And you ain't gonna do nothing, baby. And you ain't gonna stop it. Father, thank you for your word and your mercy. Lord, bless your people. Teach them, help them, and be with them in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, and streaming of this word. Amen. Okay, Tower.
Well, you know, there were some things that stuck out to me today, like Acts 13:30, but God raised him from the dead, and like you said, because he's the Son of God. And today may be Friday the 13th, but it holds no power over you, because Christ has been raised from the dead. And Dana said even Satan can appear as an angel of light in your churches, so you need to be on guard. And understand that Christ is on the throne. And as he said in John chapter 10, verses 10 and 11, the thief comes not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And remember, Friday the 13th holds no power over you. You are not cursed by that. Do not give in to that superstition, but trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yep, that's a good topper. Well, folks, we got to get out of here.
Well, thank you for joining us, everybody. We love you. We pray for you. God be with you and enjoy the day. We'll see you next time. Goodbye, everybody. God bless you.
Shalom, everybody. Till next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.